How much weight did Andy lose after he quit drinking beer? Answer at the end of the episode.
I would like to go on record, speaking as a citizen of Pawnee.
I'm Kurt Hapley, and I just realized I'm not holding my microphone.
And I will call my new Italian fast casual eatery the Local Calzone Zone.
You can trust me. Because I don't care enough about you to lie.
Everything I do is the attitude of an award winner because I've won an award.
I made my money the old-fashioned way. I got run over by Alexis.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast where I discuss anything and everything from character breakdowns to episode rewatches, as well as some other trivia and tidbits about the show. My name's Brian, and I'll be your host. This is episode number 119, being recorded Sunday, May 12th, 2024, and today I'm going to be talking about Season 4, Episode 17, Campaign Shakeup. Just a reminder, this podcast will have full spoilers for the entire series. Happy belated Mother's Day to all the wonderful moms out there. I don't believe any of the moms in my life listen to this show, including my wife. Obviously, she's not my mom, but a lot of times acts as my mother. As well as obviously being a wonderful mother to my two daughters. Actually, my mother-in-law, Susan, she might listen to this occasionally. Actually, I know she has it on and she's complimented me on the show, but I think she's just being nice. But love you, Mom. And Elf, you'll tell other mom that is mom and other mom and that mom and not my mom and my wife mom and weird stuff. Oh, my God. So let's get to why most of you folks are here, and that is Cicada Watch 2024. All right, I cannot get away from cicada talk on this show. I mean, like, it's just, hey, it's easy to go to. I gotta tell you, I've been using cicada talk so much lately, and I've been keeping people informed. I just want you to know that. A lot of people at work. And then had a kind of a busy social weekend, I guess. I'll talk about that. But this is becoming my new favorite small talk because I've talked about it on this show before. I fucking hate small talk. It's awful. So it's kind of suck when the cicadas are gone because I won't have that. But then actually all my small talk will be like, hey, remember like a month ago? And then we'll tell our cicada stories. But anyway, a lot of people I've talked to they haven't been really following this. And don't get me wrong, I'm not making it sound like I'm saving lives or like I'm changing the world or anything. But it's just kind of funny to me how many people are just like, oh, I didn't think that was going to be like any, I thought we get cicadas like every year, don't we? You know, and it's like, yeah, but this is different. I mean, like, I think a lot of people, you're so used to, like, summers in the Midwest, at least like where I'm from, you are so used to the cicada sound. And I know that sounds fucking terrible for anyone who's never heard that sound before. And it probably, like, it doesn't sound very distinct. It just sounds like a lot of loud noises and stuff. But that is millions upon millions of cicadas every year that pretty much just, like, they're not as bad during the day, but at night they just hum. And it's like, I think you get used to it. Like I've talked about how my family, we usually have our air conditioning on. So like we have the windows closed, but I mean, like if you crack a window, you just hear it immediately how loud it is. And then you just kind of close it and it drowns it out. But I think even people who sleep with the windows open, I mean, like we do, you know, occasionally when it's nice enough, like I said, you're used to it. You just sleep right through it. But anyway, I got a couple text messages this week, actually from two different people, but it was four text messages. One of them was from my sister-in-law, Jamie, and it was just, she sent me a picture message. She's like, did you know about this? And it was her, a picture of her TV, like on the whatever app, like menu she uses, but there was a big thing right up front, and it was just like Cicada Watch. So it was part of like a different app, but like and she didn't like really get into it, but it was more, it's funny just because, you know, I got people talking about cicadas, man. I am people keeping people informed and knowledged, and I'm just like making everyone stupider actually in this segment here, but it's early. It's literally, it's like 6:05 a.m. Sunday morning, and I've been up for a couple hours, and I've had a lot of coffee. But anyway, I just thought that was awesome, Jamie. Thank you for sending that. I actually have been kind of looking up some research, because I keep like all of my Google feeds, like right away, everything is just like, when will the cicadas be coming? I guess like they're starting to emerge like down south. Not even like down south, because like this is more of like a Midwestern into an Eastern thing, but like the southern parts of where this is happening. So I guess anywhere I'm at that is south of me would be considered down south. So anyway, the other messages, I guess I should say, I got from a dear friend of the show, Sasha, over at the Flips and Bumps podcast, and my future co-host. I hope we can work that out. But anyway, he sent me three different messages, and all right, these were gems, actually. So, all right, I have to set this up. All right, this was three different, he sent me three links, three YouTube videos. The first one was of Stephen Colbert. Yes, that Stephen Colbert of the Late Show and of the Colbert Report. And then the Daily Show also. It was him reacting to a video, a cicada video, made by the DuPage County Forest Preserve. DuPage County is in Illinois, my home state where I live. DuPage County is the only county I have ever lived in my entire life. I've lived in four different cities, but they have all been in DuPage. Yeah, talk about the guy who grows up and still like now. I love this area. I love DuPage County. But anyway, so they made a couple videos. I don't know when these were. This again, this is the DuPage County Forest Preserve. And actually, one of their big buildings is literally a mile away from my house, if even that. I could walk there and get there in probably about 15 minutes. And the gentleman who lives directly behind us works for the DuPage County Forest Preserve. I should actually ask him about this, if he had anything. He's not in this video, but I wonder if he had anything to do with it. Probably not. He's very, very quiet and shy. But anyway, that'd be hilarious. All right. So anyway, I'm going to include these links too, by the way, in the show notes. I would highly recommend checking these out. They're not like hilarious or anything, but they're kind of funny, and they actually are pretty informative. But it's like, yeah, it's just cicada video one and cicada video two, essentially. And it's like, it's grown like adults just in costumes. Like they're wearing cicada costumes with like, they look pretty good. I mean, like they look like Halloween costumes, essentially, like your mom would make for you like 2 days before Halloween, when it's like, oh, fuck, my other one's not going to be here in time. Mom, can you make me a cicada? So the videos, like, everything is very, like, these videos were almost made for children, because it's, like, the way they describe everything is so just, like, okay. And it's pretty crazy, actually. I mean, like, how many eggs are laid and shit? You're almost like, man, like, we should just kill these things before they spawn. But it's like, no, I guess this is what they do every year. And then they go live, like, boring 17-year lives, like, underground, just, like, eating roots and shit in the dark. I don't know. But and I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, or maybe even last week, I've been doing a lot of yard work just because it's been awesome. I mean, we've been getting, like, a shit ton of rain, but the soil is soft and everything, so it's been nice for digging and planting and gardening and whatnot. But I have seen a lot of cicadas, and they're like, they're in that slumber where it's like, if you got to wake them up at 6:30, it's like I'm waking them up at 6:25. So they're like, ugh. They're all like, they're kind of moving a little bit, but they're basically like, fuck off, bro, we got five more minutes. So it's cool seeing them, though, because I don't know, I think cicadas are awesome. And I'm so, like, such a mixed bag on here. Like, one episode I'm terrified of them. The next one, it's like, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to, like, step on them and kill them. The next, I think they're the coolest thing. And, anyway. So I'm taking so long with this, I apologize. But the first two videos, like I said, they were just, they're short. They're like a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes long. It's just, there's a guy telling you what's happening. And then as he's doing that, there's just, like, employees from the DuPage County Forest Preserve just, like, dressed up, like, it shows one person like emerging from the ground and then starting to climb up a tree. And then it's like a female cicada and then a male cicada flying around her showing us. So it's very funny. But anyway, they made these, or They made two videos. So Colbert replied, or again, he reacted on his show. He's like, the DuPage County Forest Preserve, and no. And then he was like, I think he showed the video, and he's like, I want to play Cicada number two. So, of course, it was like, haha, and everyone thought it was funny and everything. So the Forest Preserve, they saw this or whatever, and they replied to him on social media, basically saying, hey, Steven, thanks for mentioning our show. You know, like it meant a lot, and or mentioning the video we made. We're going to make a sequel to that. And it was just something so basic. It was just like Cicada video two. But they're like, and we would love you to star as Cicada number two. But this deal is limited as, you know, like if you don't reply in time, we're going to reach out to Steve Carell, which was great because Steve Carell and Steve Colbert, obviously their names sound similar. They were both Daily Show correspondents and so they're kind of like put in the same category a lot, but I thought it was awesome. Sasha, thank you so much for sharing that with me. Like when I opened it up, I was like, what the hell is this? Cause it was weird. Like they kind of came out of order. So I wasn't sure what was going on. I thought he was just sending me fun Cicada videos, which that would have been awesome too. But so, and you know, like I just talked a second ago about how much it's been raining here. We've been getting so many ants, and that's not a new thing. I know, like, you know, ants come with rain, but it's like this time last year in the Midwest, at least around here, it sucked. It was still cold. There was like, it stunted a lot of the growth, and it just kind of threw things off big time. This April, we actually got like the April we're supposed to get, you know, like April showers bring May flowers. That is hitting so true this year because like my yard looks great. Like I'm so happy with it right now. There's still a ton to do, but the ants. And like we use a chemical called Pesty. It's like, it's just like we spray it around the base of our house. I don't think it like kills the animals, but it like, it's just a deterrent, you know, it keeps them away. Cause we just spray it around the windows and like the base of the house. But so, you know, sometimes when you spray stuff like that, the stuff that's already in, it keeps them in. And then they don't want to go out because they have to go back towards it. So a lot of them are coming up by, there's we have a big window right above our sink, like our kitchen sink. And that's like right in the backyard. So they're coming up kind of like along the wall. So I actually have put like a silicone, like some kind of sealant on there. And I can't believe this is what I'm talking about. I'm sorry. I don't have any filler this week. So I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I'm just taking my sweet ass time. But yeah, stupid ants. And I'm not talking about the movie that ends in a Z, which I never saw that movie. I heard it sucked. I saw A Bug's Life. That was pretty good. Yeah. Anyway, I talked earlier. I had a busy weekend. So Friday, I went to the Shedd Aquarium, the famous Shedd Aquarium in Chicago. It's got a name in front of it. I forgot what it is, though, but just Shedd Aquarium, Chicago. It's like next door to historic Soldier Field where the Chicago Bears play and should be awesome this year. Man, I am so excited for the Bears. Any of my football fans out there besides Elf, let me know how excited you are. For me as a Bears fan, let me know how excited you are as a Bears fan for me. But anyway, I went to the Shedd Aquarium with Natty's class, my daughter Natty, and it was fun, but it started off kind of on a shit note because the bus to take us there was like an hour and 15 minutes late. So we lost a bunch of time, and it's like, it's cool because it's to the point where there's like six or seven chaperones and each one has, I had five, including Natty. Her and four of her friends, and they were good for the most part, but you don't, since you're on your own, it's like, okay, you hold everyone's lunches and then you just decide it's like where you're going to eat, when you're going to eat and how long you're going to take. So for me, it was like the girls were complaining on the bus already. I mean, we were supposed to get there at like 10 o'clock. We didn't get there till like 11:30. So we ate right away, and then it was fine. But I think even at that age, the girls, like, they're just looking for more, like, things to, like, to be active. Like, we were walking around and looking at fish, but they didn't seem like they were excited looking at some things, but they didn't seem as excited like as I thought they were going to be. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe I just read them completely wrong. But we got to like pet stingrays. That was probably my favorite thing to do. And I've done that before. But yeah, so it was kind of cool. But the bus rides, good Lord, that's when you really like your sanity is tested, when you're on a school bus with like 70 third graders. So they're, of course, like, and we're on the highway. So every time a big truck comes by, they're all like, honk your horn. Honk your horn, you know, and doing the pulling on the thing, just like Andy Dwyer was doing a couple weeks back in the episode. Which one was that? Get on your feet, the comeback kid. Yeah, when he was blasting the horn. But anyway, so we would get it a bunch, and it was awesome, and it's genuinely fun because I'm not like engaging in this. I'm not yelling at. I'm not pulling my. That would be hilarious if I was. If I was like jumping over kids, like trying to get to the window to be like, "Come on, bro, fucking honk it!" But when you would actually hear the horn honk, and then the whole bus would like erupt. It was cool. I can get kind of annoyed with children, but I don't know. I think I'm pretty good with them. I would never be a teacher like my wife. Like hell no, I couldn't do that. But it's just, I could see when the kids are like starting to get like obnoxious and everything. So what I always do, and I do it with my kids too in the car, I just like immediately kind of like interrupt everyone and just like, all right, somebody name for me an animal that starts with the letter P, you know? And then it's like, then all of a sudden they're like throwing off. And it's like, I think Joni sometimes will even jump in, but it's mostly for the girls. But I just started doing that on the bus. And it's like with like my group. And then it started getting a little, oh, wait, hold on, it's my turn. I guessed it right. No, wait, I want to play too. And then by the time we get to the school, there's like 15 or 20 kids like all like, no, wait, I didn't get to go yet. You know, so it was kind of fun. And then yesterday we did, Natty again, we had an event. It was a 5K run, which is approximately 3.1 miles. Yeah, so it was at her school, and you had to walk, like, I think it was 16 laps around the school. That was the 3 miles. I walked, like, 4 laps, and then I, like, stopped. And this was all, like, you were supposed to run. So a lot of these kids were lapping me, like, twice. So they were on, like, lap 3 by the time I was still on lap 1. And I was like, fuck it, I'm not trying to. Like, my knee hurts. I told you guys about that. It's getting better, though. So I think maybe I was overreacting. But it does start to sting every once in a while, so maybe I'm not. But anyway, yeah, a lot of walking yesterday. At one point, I was just like, you know what? I got to go to the bathroom. So I was like walking by route and then just walked home because we live right down the street. It was awesome. Went home, took a whiz, came back, and just kind of fell back in line. Like, all right. So I probably walked, I don't know, 7 laps, something like that. Yeah, wasn't too bad, but good for Natty. She did the whole, the 3K. She did all 16 laps. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about, this is crazy. So, wow, this whole episode's about Nat, apparently, or everything right now, all this, my nonsense. She's in Girl Scouts, and they had like their end of the year Girl Scout party, whatever. And like one of their gifts that they got from the troop leaders were very nice, like water bottles, but like, you know, like the metal ones. They weren't like Stanley's, they weren't like the $60 ones, but they were nice ones, you know, like maybe thermo flask or something. And they gave the girls a bunch of stickers, because that's what the kids love to do that now with their big water bottles. They put stickers all over them. So one of the troop leaders just ordered, it was like AI generated things that have to do with girls camping, like Girl Scouts, you know. So they got a bunch of, you know, things. There was like, you go girl, and like, girls get it done, and stuff like that, like, you know, like just typical, you know, quotes and fun motivational stuff. But in this pile, and actually it wasn't even in a pile, I saw these on my wife's nightstand, and I was like, where the hell did you get these? It was 2 Pawnee Goddesses stickers. And I'm just like, why do you have these? And she goes, oh, two of the other troop leaders who are like good friends of ours, like family friends, they know about this show. I don't think they listen to it, but they know that I'm a huge Parks and Rec fan. They've watched actual Parks and Rec, the TV show, but I don't think they live. Maybe they've thrown it on just to listen for a second or two. Who cares? Who knows? But they know I'm a fan of the show, so they gave Joni the stickers, and they're like, yeah, he'll like these. So I saw him, and it was just like, she's like, oh, yeah, you know, they gave me those stickers for you. And it was just like, what, are you not going to tell me the story behind this? And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, they were just like AI-generated stickers. So I wonder if there were any Pawnee Ranger ones. Probably not if they put, like, girl in the sink, in the think tank, but I don't know. But, yeah, thanks for sitting through all that bullshit. If you're here for Parks and Rec, the time is now. Season 4, Episode 17, Campaign Shakeup, directed by Dan Gore and written by Dan Gore. Cold open, we start off with a segment from Perd Hapley's show, The Final Word with Perd, where two political experts, both with fantastic surnames, Dylan Peaver and Lisa Moltaro, are talking shit about Bobby Newport, saying he fired his previous campaign manager and he hasn't been seen in some time. So the poll shows, the poll numbers show that Bobby Newport sitting at 45%, Leslie's at 30%, and the other three are fighting over the last 25%. I think this is the first time, actually, that we see who the other candidates are, and it's Brandy Max, Fester Trim, and Manrico De La Rosa. Brandy Max, obviously, we know. We've met her already. The other two we have not met yet, but we will in a couple episodes when the debate happens. Also, this is just like, it's funny, but it's like kind of fucked up too. At the bottom of the screen underneath the where it's showing the poll numbers on TV, it shows the source of the poll, which is the Pawnee Journal / Sweetums. So obviously Sweetums owns the Pawnee Journal, but it's just so fucked up that Sweetums is such a big part of the election and Bobby Newport basically is Sweetums. So it's just so funny to me that, because we will see this spoiler in the debate episode, which I just talked about. There's a scene where, like, Bobby Newport talks about how, like, some huge thing is going to have to happen, like, if he doesn't win the election, and it's like all these people from Sweetums are going to, like, lose their jobs and everything. And then it's like it cuts to commercial and it's like brought to you by Sweetums, like Pawnee's largest supplier of jobs or some shit like that. It's so funny though. It's just so fucked up that it's like that giant corporation that is essentially backing this guy, you know? And then it's like Chris Traeger gets shit because he tries to back up Leslie's, you know, camp, like in his free time. It's just, it's so funny, but it's like so messed up. So the segment ends with Dylan Peaver mentioning what a great move it was for Leslie to bring in Ben as her campaign manager. All right, so we start off at the Pawnee Senior Center, where Ben tells us, you got to get the gray vote. I love that so much, the gray vote for the seniors. Apparently, old people make up a huge part of the poll numbers, so the plan is to get Ned Jones's endorsement. He's the president of Pawnee Seniors United. We meet Ned, and he's played by the late and great Carl Reiner. He's a great character who really plays up the cliched old people laughs. So... yeah, he's just, it's like, for instance, like when Ben and Leslie get in there, he's like, oh, sorry, I can't get up. And they're just like, oh, I'm sorry. He's like, no, I can. I just don't want to. Like, the way he talks is so funny. And then as he's talking to them also, he's just like, well, we got to get this over with. I don't have a lot of time. Ben's like, oh, no, is it cancer? He's like, no, I don't have a lot of time before my swim aerobics. So he's not trying to be funny. This is just how he keeps talking. And it's like, yeah, everything's setting up like it's supposed to mean something, like as far as him being old. But it's just like, no, it's just, you know, so very funny. All right. Leslie's great idea to get Ned on board is called Ramp Up Pawnee, which will add more wheelchair accessible ramps to public buildings. Apparently not enough ramps was the number one complaint for old people behind Everything Hurts and I'm Dying. It's a great quote. Over to Chris's office, we get a great sight gag where he's doing upside down sit-ups as Ron walks in. Chris asks him why the Parks Department only has 7 people instead of the usual for a town of Pawnee's size, which is about 10. Of course, Ron tells him that he tries to have as ineffective a crew as possible, but Chris counters that with Leslie working on the campaign, a new deputy director will have to be hired, which infuriates Ron. So yeah, this makes a lot of sense actually, because, you know, yeah, Chris is, well, first of all, it's funny that he's doing these upside down, you know, he's hanging from like this contraption, whatever, it looks like a saw trap. And he asks Ron if Ron can like set, or what's it called? Spot him, sorry, to help him get down. And it's just funny. So Ron feels uncomfortable. You can tell because he holds Chris's back while Chris gets down. And then right when Chris lands, Ron kind of like he feels weird for helping another man, you know, because he's so masculine as it is. So he kind of like wipes his hands almost. And Chris gives him like a loving look, like almost like a thanks, buddy. Like you really helped me there, like getting down. It's kind of funny. But what Chris's point, though, is that Leslie, who's not going to be there as much because she's got to do her campaign stuff, essentially does the work of all of those missing people that Ron doesn't have in his department. Like I said, he only has 7 when a government of Pawnee size, the Parks Department, should have 10 people. So Leslie is essentially filling in for all those people. Now that Leslie is going to be only doing half of the work here. So anyway, Chris tells Ron, prove it. You either complete one big government project or you hire more people.
Either we complete a government project, which is abhorrent to me, or we bring a new person into the department, which repulses me to my core. It reminds me of when my dad made me choose which of my pet calves to slaughter with my own hands for my 6th birthday. I couldn't choose, so I slaughtered both of them. And they were delicious.
Back over to Leslie and Ben's meeting with Ned Jones. We get a call back to season one. Not really a call back. I don't think it's intentional, but it for me, it's a callback. When Ned tells Leslie that she reminds him of his brother, a man also named Leslie. This is so good. He's like, you remind me of my brother Leslie. He lost 1/3 of his body in a motorcycle accident. The middle third. When the guy's telling this story, it's just so ridiculous. He's like, oh yeah, my brother. He lost 1/3 of his body in a motorcycle accident. The middle third. And they're just like, what? Like, Leslie and Ben's faces are so good. He's like, oh, they sutured the hell out of him. He's much shorter now, but a good-looking flat man. it's like he's not trying to be funny at all. He's literally telling us, like, how proud he is of his brother who lost, like, the middle third of his body. It's so good. All right. But anyway, like the callback I was kind of talking about from season one, the banquet episode, I think it's episode 4 or 5, when Leslie gets her hair done by Salvatore and Ron tells her that she looks like his brother, a fighter pilot, because of the short hair, obviously. So yeah, I like that Ned Jones says she, well, his is more so just because I have a brother named Leslie, so you're a Leslie who reminds me of my brother Leslie. Ron's was more like, you look like my brother because of his haircut. It's awesome. Then we find out that Bobby Newport has a new campaign manager. Even Leslie and Ben didn't know this. We get a great line as Ned says, yeah, she wanted to have a meeting at 5, but I told her I don't like talking politics after dinner. So just more playing up the jokes on old people. Also, Joni and I feel like we're getting this way. Last night, no joke, I woke up from a slumber at like 8 p.m. So I think I fell asleep around 6, and then I woke up for a few hours and then fell back asleep at like 9. Actually, I guess not a few hours, but whatever. Either way, yeah, I'm all about sleep these days, baby. All right, over at NOPE headquarters, we see that Newport's new manager is a woman named Jennifer Barkley, who's literally out of Washington. She's played amazingly by Katherine Hahn, and she'll appear in 9 more episodes. Damn. She's only pictured at this point, though, as Leslie and Ben search through her Wikipedia page. So there's a picture of her, which is so funny. She's eating... What is she eating? She's eating like an egg sandwiches with Colin Powell or whatever. And I just love that Leslie calls it the most impressive thing she's ever seen. Wow, she's eating egg salad with Colin Powell. Ben, that's the most impressive thing I've ever seen. And again, yeah, she's serious. Ben is loving this, though, as he knows it's all desperation from the Newport camp, bringing up how much money it must have cost them to hire her. And we will find out how much it cost. And Ben's pretty right. Over to Anne's office, Ron and April tell her that she's going to be helping them with the water fountain hygiene upgrade, which I've talked about this numerous times on the show, and this is one of the funniest fucking scenes in this entire series. So you see that Anne is very excited about doing this project, and it's like, oh, okay, great. Like, she's enthused. However, she gets a talking head where she tells us about how Pawneans put their whole mouths over the water spout. So, and I love that. Actually, maybe it's not in this exact one, but like later on, Andy's the example they use. So, all right, just imagine like a regular water fountain, not the newer ones that like fill the water bottles, you know, where there's the spout like up top that just kind of drains the water into your water bottle. But regular old water fountains where it you know comes out as a stream and there's a splash guard and everything. So that splash guard thing, the people in Pawnee literally put their entire mouth over that. So their lips are essentially touching the base of the water fountain, like the actual part where the water collects. And they just like, so they'll like press the button and then they just like I can't even make a sound effect for it, but they just look like fish because like their cheeks are just kind of going in and out as they're drinking the water. And it is just, I mean, one of, like I said, if not my favorite, one of my favorite sight gags in the show, just to just show how disgusting and gross these people are. But also it is just such a funny thing that Anne's like, I don't like, she basically tells us like, I have no idea where the hell this thing came from, but people just for whatever reason, they put their entire mouth over it. So I'll probably put that like on the Instagram, like a clip of it or a picture or something, but it is so, so fucking funny. All right, now we're at JJ's Diner where Jen is already waiting for Leslie and Ben. And it's funny because they're trying to get there before her. It's like, yeah, can you put us somewhere like in the back that looks a little fancier? You know, we're meeting someone. And Marta, we find out is her name. She's the server. She's just like, oh, you mean Miss Barkley? She's right over there. So I just like that by her calling her Miss Barkley, it means Jen Barkley's already been like kissing up to this woman, you know, to the fact that she's already calling her Miss, not just, oh, Jen Barkley or, oh, the woman you're meeting. It's Miss Barkley. Love that. Jen's very educated, well-spoken, and likable here. She compliments both Leslie and Ben on all their past work and tells them that the only reason she's representing Bobby is because of the $250,000 she was promised by his family. I got to point out, Leslie and Jen have a hilarious laugh off when Jen tells Leslie that she could do better than Joe Biden, who's on Leslie's celebrity sex list. So we all know about that. We all know Leslie's weird obsession with Joe Biden, but it's great that Leslie just happens to point that out to Jen. She's like, have you ever met Joe Biden? He's on my celebrity sex list. She's like, oh my God, you could do better than Joe. And then that's when Leslie's just like, oh my God. And they both just kind of start like laughing like hyenas almost back and forth. It's really funny. They end the lunch with Jen saying that she's upset that she met Leslie and Ben because she likes them so much and she's kind of rooting for them. Over at Nope HQ, Ben and Leslie think that this could be really good for them, thinking that Jen will just take the 250 grand and phone it in. That goes away very quickly, though, when they turn on the TV and Jen is already on Purge Show. In an unexpected turn of events, Jen starts talking shit about Leslie and her lack of experience. I mean, this literally cut, like, they end the scene at JJ's Diner, and then it's right next to them at home, like, wow, that meeting went really well with Jen. I think this could be pretty good. Turn on the TV, and then you find out it's like, oh, she fucking played us. So she's great. Yeah, Jen Barkley is awesome. Now we see that the Newport camp has doctored the video of Leslie as a 10-year-old. So we saw this one a few weeks back in the episode campaign ad. It was the one where Bobby Newport was like, how'd you do that? Like, he thought he made this video. He thought Leslie's team made this video of her as a 10-year-old, like, now. Like, well, they did. They create, you know what I mean. But anyway, it's just in that video, it's just her talking about her dreams of becoming a government official. So now it's just like a generic voiceover talking over her video saying childish things. And it's like, it's kind of pathetic, like that they're kind of like making fun of a kid in this one. But I mean, that's politics. So I guess politics is just fucking disgusting. Election season coming. It's going to really start sucking here in the next few months. But anyway, Ben reminds Leslie not to worry about Jen, that Ned Jones is the main prize. Back to the Parks Department, Anne has gathered the troops to try and solve this water fountain problem. After Andy hilariously demonstrates how not to use the fountain. So again, she's just like, Andy, you want to go ahead and take a drink? She doesn't tell him to do anything special. She's just like, go ahead and take a drink. And he's like, oh yeah. So he just goes ahead and puts his mouth over it. And it's so funny because like pretty much everything Chris Pratt does is hysterical. So Jerry has the idea to try a small cage over the spout, which is essentially just like, I guess, I don't know if there's a specific name for them, just like the hanging like lights. You use them like on job sites a lot. And there's that little plastic cage around the bulb just so you don't burn yourself. So Jerry just pretty much has one of those and he just kind of clamps it together over the spout. However, Andy pulls it right off and just puts his mouth back over the thing. And then Tom actually, and really like, I think this is like his only line in the episode. Actually, not. You'll hear him later, but I think this is his only actual line that matters. He, you know, because Anne's running the thing and she's like, all right, Anne, Tom, what's your idea? And he has to, first, he has to make a quick thing like, well, I have to say in full disclosure that Anne and I are dating. And it's just like everyone kind of rolls their eyes. And so do I. But then it's really funny because he pulls out this like backpack slash briefcase slash suitcase, whatever, of Voss water, V-O-S-S. I think that's still a thing. I'm pretty sure it is. And it's very fucking expensive water. But anyway, it's so funny because Tom's just like, yeah, you know, he starts talking about this thing. He's like, what if we don't need water fountains? And of course, it's highly like an idiotic idea because like financially, it's ridiculous too. When he tells us that each case, which holds like 12 bottles, costs $600. So it's awesome because he's like, at $600, and Anne just like, all right, and just moves to the next person, doesn't even let him finish. So she goes over. She's like, what about you, Donna? And Donna has an amazing line when she just looks at her and says, do I look like I drink water? I always wonder about jokes like that. And I'm going to try to say this the right way. I don't want to sound insensitive, but like, you know, when you have like someone who's bigger, I'm sorry, like Retta or like Jim O'Hare, or like in The Office, when you have like Stanley, Kevin, Phyllis, maybe, how do they get away with making jokes? Like, I always wonder about how the actor feels when a joke like that is made. Like, in that one, Retta delivered the line herself. She's just like, do I look like I drink water? So was that her idea? Or does someone have to, like, run that? Like, you know, the writers, are they just like, will they pull her aside and be like, listen, we made a joke about your weight. Like, we just want to make sure that that's okay. Like, I always wonder about that. Or is it just like, hey, that's the joke we wrote. So if you want to keep your job, read it. I assume that's not how it was. Not that like tyrannical, like, ah. But yeah, it's kind of curious. Back at the senior center, Leslie begins her presentation showing her ramp idea. But then a random guy stands up and says, Bobby Newport's idea is better. On cue, Jen Barkley introduces Ned Jones as Leslie watches on, crushed. Yeah, it's like, this guy's totally a plant. He's like, he's in the audience, and he's like, wait a minute, but that idea is da-da-da. Like, the way he says it, too, is so, like, rehearsed. And when Leslie's like, but wait, what are you talking about? Bobby Newport doesn't have an idea. And Jen Barkley's head pops in the door. She's like, did someone just mention Bobby Newport's new idea? And Leslie just rolls her eyes. It's so funny, like, the face she makes, because she's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Like, they were looking so good yesterday, and now it's like, son of a bitch. So Jen's new idea, obviously a ripoff on Leslie's, it's just called Rise Up Pawnee. If you'll remember, Leslie's was Ramp Up Pawnee, which instead of ramps, uses electric lifts on every outdoor staircase in town. Then Leslie gets the dagger in the heart when Ned Jones says he endorses Bobby Newport. Ugh. Back to the Parks Department, Ron brags to Chris about how well his team is doing with their project, which is funny to me because, like, you know, that's just Ron's cockiness, like walking up and he's just like, you know what, you're not gonna have to hire anyone, don't worry about it. It's like Ron has no idea what they're even doing in here. So I just love that. Well, it's, I guess, confidence too. He trusts his team, but it's just like, you'll find quickly that he shouldn't have, because Chris gets to see this firsthand.
Well, you will not be hiring anyone because my department is just finishing up a major project.
Excuse me.
Everything I'm wearing is suede. Everything I'm wearing is suede. Everything.
Excuse me, everybody.
Attention!
I think you'll agree that this department could use a little leadership.
It's a kamikaze!
It's just pure insanity. Like, the project has turned into a giant water fight with like water balloons, and there's, because they brought in a portable fountain to test out, you know, so Andy could demonstrate and everything. So there was a hose attached to it, and so they just disconnected that, and everyone's just like soaked, and they're just shit's great. And of course, at the end of that clip I just played, you can hear kamikaze from Andy, and that's when he literally just runs up to him. And Andy's covered in water balloons, like they're all taped to him, and he just gives Chris a bear hug, and poof, of course, it just explodes all over him. Great scene. Okay, back home, Leslie and Ben, very discouraged, try to think of what to do next. Ben suggests that Leslie go on Purd's show to call out Jen, but they both know it's pointless. So it's like, it's a tough scene because she's like, well, I guess, you know, like we could go on a Purge show and do that. And he's like, yeah. Like they're both like, that's an idea, but that's like the only one they have. And it's just like, this idea sucks, but what else are we going to do? Over to Ron's office, April apologizes for fucking around. Great line when Ron says, on any other day, I'd be proud of you. I love that it's like for a water fight. He tells her, I'd be proud of you. And it's just like, he's like, this is a rare occasion where wasting a full work day isn't a good thing. The lines like this are so good because Ron is being genuine and so is April here. Like when he tells her that, like, I'd be proud of you on any other day, she's like, kind of like, oh, thanks, Dad. I appreciate it. So, now we're at JJ's where Leslie really lays into Jen. And this is great because she keeps coming up and she's like, you know, good carpet bagging, two-faced. And she, like, Jen keeps like, hey, Leslie, how are you? Like, keeps cutting in. So Leslie, she keeps doing it. She does it like four times. And I just love that it's the same insult every time. And then finally she, like a little kid, she's like, come on, will you let me finish my insult? Like she does like where she like kind of shakes her arms like a little kid who's like having a tantrum. And it's just so funny that I love that she keeps calling her like, you two-faced, like carpet bagging. She starts with that every time. And then finally, she tells Jen that the ramp idea actually sucks and it won't work because it's going to cost too much. It won't be feasible. And then Jen just tells her she's pretty much doing whatever she has to win. So I think even Jen knows that it's like, yeah, this idea sucks. I know that, but that's what people want to hear. And by the time Bobby wins, I'll be out of here and it won't be my problem. Back over to the Parks Department, the group shows Chris and Ron their solution to the water fountain problem. Just remove the splash guard. So Chris praises the idea and tells Ron that they might not need to hire someone if the group keeps up these good ideas. I have to, like, not call bullshit, because I guess the solution worked, but it's just so dumb to me that it took six grown-ass adults to brilliantly come up with the idea to just remove the fucking problem. Like, literally, it's like, well, this splash guard's the problem. What do we do? Let's just remove the splash guard. That's a great idea, and that's exactly what they do. Because, like, wouldn't it be such a great thing in any situation if it's like, oh, what's the problem? Oh, that's the problem over there. We'll just remove it. Okay. And everything still works just as is. Yep. Just go ahead and remove that. So I love that it's like Chris is like, wow, this is a great idea, everyone. And then later on, you'll see like Ron, it's like, oh, that was a great idea. It's like, yeah, it was smart thinking, whoever came up with it, like on the spot. But it's like, after all the bullshit that they, like all the trouble they got into and everything with this water fight, it's just like, here's the solution. And yeah, I don't know. It's just like, it seems kind of stupid, but it works. So we get a great line though, as Chris says, well, it looks like you won't need to fill the Leslie void. And then Donna's just like, yeah, I think Ben's been filling that void. Oh, like, and gives her a high five. And I think even Chris is just like, oh, I'll give it up for that one. Back at JJ's, Jen starts to go over to Leslie's possible attack plan, like literally going over it with Leslie before Leslie can even think about these things. So it's pretty funny because Leslie's like, all right, well, I don't know what to do. And Jen's like, well, come on, Leslie. She's like, I mean, I can't tell you what to do. Or maybe I can. And you just kind of realize that Jen is just so good at this that she's like, yeah, fuck it. Why don't you? But then you're just like, is she feeding her bad ideas on purpose? Or is she genuinely trying to help her? And it's really hard to tell because obviously Jen wants to win. And you've seen that she plays kind of dirty. But she also does seem like she genuinely likes Leslie. So it's kind of hard to tell. So she kind of gets Leslie to realize that there's really nothing she can do about this specific problem, like this one actually about the ramps. But then out of boredom, she tells us in a talking head that she's pretty much giving Leslie these good ideas because she loves playing chess and she just has no one to play against right now. So she's going to set Leslie up to be her opponent and help her out. So over to the TV studio, Leslie gets ready to appear on Purd's show. She tells Ben that she trusts him. And the two lighten up a little and they decide to just play it by ear. So this is more of a, you know what, we kind of got our asses kicked this time around, but we're still an awesome team. And it's just Leslie and Ben just not panicking quite yet, just being like, you know what, I think we still got this. So on to Purd's show, Leslie and Jen square off with Jen having an answer for pretty much everything that Leslie says. And it's one of those annoying things where like, she'll ask Leslie a question and Leslie starts like answering it, but then she cuts in and like, you know, it's very obnoxious, but it just shows you why Jen is so good at this. She's such a great politicker because yeah, she doesn't like let other people talk. And you know, it's so even when Leslie mentions that Bobby's nowhere to be seen, that he's been on vacation in Mallorca, which is funny. I love, there's another Majorca call out in season 7 at Donna and Joe's wedding when April is scolding April's family for like fighting so much, and she talks about how no one cares that the one niece is like living in Majorca. It's great. Jen tells us that Bobby's been in Europe trying to he's trying to get people to like open a new Sweetums factory in Pawnee, I think it was. He's trying to get new investors. So it's like, they're like, fuck. Like, there's really, like, again, she has an answer for everything they're trying to say. And it's like, you find out this is, of course, bullshit. But, like, Purd declares Jen the winner of that little argument. And he's like, well, we don't declare winners on this show. But if I did, I would have to say that Jen Barkley is the winner. All right. So next, we're at a bar where Jen tells Leslie and Ben the Bobby story is mostly made up. Yeah, because they're just like, well, I don't, you know, like, what are we going to do about this thing with these foreign investors? And she's like, what? Like Jen already forgot about that. She's like, oh, I just made that up. You know, it's all bullshit. She's like, don't call me on it, though, because it'll turn around and it'll backfire on you. And like, Leslie and Ben are just like, who the fuck is this woman? Like, they don't know what to do. So, but Jen, she's like still in good spirits, though. Like, she still does. She likes Jen and, Ben and Leslie. And so the two of them decide that, after Jen's just like, oh, go ahead and eat whatever you want. Everything's so cheap here. It's already on my tab. They're just like, eh, fuck it. So they're just going to drink a lot and they're going to throw it all on her tab. All right. So over to the tag of the episode, April just agrees that she's going to fill in for Leslie. And there was a part earlier that I didn't mention just because it was so quick, but Ron is actually sitting down with Anne and he thanks her for coming up with this flat, you know, the idea, like, say, you know, that was great. We really needed your help. And Anne's like, that wasn't my idea. It was April's. And basically says, it's like, well, April's obviously not going to take credit because April doesn't care about anything. So yeah, now this is when Ron finds her and he's like, hey, I know it was you who came up with the idea. Can you please just help out a little bit and just fill in for Leslie? And she's like, yeah, sure. So it's awesome. All right, so that's the episode. On IMDb, this is sitting at a 7.9. Some of my thoughts. I don't have a ton of thoughts here. First, I just wrote down, like, luckily the Tom and Anne stuff is only about 10 seconds. It's literally, like I said, it's just when Tom mentions, he's like, well, you know, Anne and I have a relationship, and she's just kind of like, all right, shut up, what else you got? So that's kind of nice. people putting their mouth on the water spout, one of the best jokes in the series. I don't think I can ramp that up any more than I already have. Ned Jones's brother who had his middle third removed, that whole part, like, Ned Jones is just great. Again, like, getting Carl Reiner was, it's awesome. I mean, he's a legend, but the way he keeps making like the old jokes, but not jokes. Like, it's just, you think they're turning into a joke, but they're not. And then, yeah, the way he describes his brother Leslie is so funny. And I didn't, I gotta find my notes here. I didn't mention this when they were happening in the episode, but there are three scenes where Leslie talks about Ben's height for some reason, but not like, she doesn't specifically say her height, but the first one, she's like, it's like how she does with Anne, where she calls her all these amazing names. But with Ben, she's like, you brilliant, sexy little hummingbird. And it's like the first time when she says that, like, he makes a face. And then later she's like, as a woman, all I care about is your slight but powerful body. So again, it's like something about his, like, him being small with slight. And then the third time she's like, you're a sexy man genius with a taut, narrow frame, like a sexy elf king. And then he's just like, do you wish I was taller? But oh my God, it's so, like, a sexy elf king. That's what she wants Ben to look like. It's amazing. But that is going to wrap up this episode. If you'd like to contact the show, citizensofpawnee@gmail.com is how you can do that. Please like and follow on Instagram @citizensofpawneepodcast and @parksrecmemes. Next week, I'll be covering season 4, episode 18, Lucky. Thank you for listening to Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast. My name is Brian, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Andy dropped 50 pounds from cutting beer out of his diet.